question, aren't you minimizing initiation by saying that it is just like hearing or chanting, or isn't the promise of freedom from sin at the time of initiation far bigger than the promise of Phalashruti on doing a particular, on hearing a particular pastime? No, I'm not minimizing initiation in any way. But what is initiation? Initiation essentially is the commitment to practice devotional service, to practice bhakti yoga. So why should we consider that the promises of initiation have to be categorically different from the promises of the practice of bhakti? We can look in our scripture and see what is a central teaching and what is a not that central teaching. So how often does the Bhagavad Gita or the Bhagavatam or the Chaitanya Charitamrit say specifically that because you are initiated, so now you are free from all sinful reactions and therefore take initiation? No, that's hardly the point of the point for taking initiation. If we say that have any of our acharyas stressed that as a reason for taking initiation, that you will become free from sinful reactions, or have they raised questions about the validity of initiation based on its inability to fulfill that particular instruction? That means that just because something didn't happen, so that's why, what is the worth of initiation? So we don't see this as a central thrust of our teachings. The central thrust is, for example, we are not the body, we are the soul, that bhakti is the best way to attain the absolute. The absolute truth is not just an impersonal effulgence, but it's also an all-attractive person. So we can say that these are the core principles of bhakti. So generally, even in initiation classes, if at all this is talked about, that you should, that the spiritual master takes the sinful reactions, how often is that an emphasis? Yes, the idea is that the spiritual master should make sure that not take disciples casually. And if we see Rupa Goswami, when he talks about why a guru should not, why a Vaishnava should not take too many disciples, his stress is not on the fact that, oh, if you have too many disciples, you will have too many sinful reactions and all those reactions will get you down. He says that is not the main reason. That can be a reason, but he says that if you might be taking too many disciples, somebody might be taking too many disciples because of puja labh pratishtha. And having too many disciples also means taking care of those disciples, and that can distract one from one's own bhajan. So therefore, we have to look at the statements that are given in our tradition in the light of how the tradition has understood them. Not as we might have understood them based on a decontextualized absolutization of a particular statement. If that is what we have unfortunately done, then we definitely need to revise our understanding. So we have Prabhupada in the early days of our movement. There was one person, a young American, who had come because he was studying religious studies in a university, and he had to do some kind of paper on the Hare Krishnas and their beliefs and practices. So he seemed immensely interested in everything about the Hare Krishnas. and he was asking questions. He also would come for the morning classes, participate in the kirtans, and the devotees thought that he was a very serious devotee. So then, when Prabhupada was giving initiation, they recommended that you can also take initiation. And Prabhupada, based on the recommendation of the devotees, gave him initiation. And after initiation, that person never came back. And when the devotees tried to contact him, he was repeatedly avoiding devotees. And throughout the initial period, he had not revealed to the devotees why he was coming, that it was because of writing a paper for his course. But he told that, you know, I wanted to have an experience of what you people do, and I thought initiation will be another experience. So then Prabhupada said that, when Prabhupada was told about this, Prabhupada said, I never initiated him, because initiation is a matter of the heart, and his heart was never in it. So we shouldn't reduce initiation to simply a ritual. Now what about if somebody's heart is there in it? Yes, the purpose of initiation, or putting our heart in initiation, is not to get an insurance from suffering. It is to get transcendence to suffering. And transcendence to suffering comes by commitment to the practice of bhakti and absorption in Krishna. How often do we in our classes emphasize this fact that, oh, if you do this wrong, your spiritual master will suffer, therefore you should not do this. Yes, somehow depending on particular devotees' inspirations or their conception, you could say, of Krishna consciousness, they may emphasize it a lot, but that's not the thrust of Srila Prabhupada's teachings. How often during his interactions with his disciples did Prabhupada send them on a guilt trip, saying that, you know, because of your particular sins, I am suffering. Now, when Prabhupada had sickness, on some occasions, not always, when Prabhupada had sickness, he did say that this is because of my disciples not following the regulative principles strictly. But that was not the basis of his relationship with his disciples, and that was not the basis because of which the disciples practice bhakti. He wanted them to practice bhakti because they understand the difference between body and soul, because they can experience the ecstasy of absorption in Krishna. And this was like an additional motivation. This was by no means the main motivation. So if you understand this point, that this has never been repeatedly emphasized central point of forming a relationship with the spiritual master of taking initiation, that we will henceforth be protected from sins. See, every teaching has its particular stress, and the stress is that we should not commit, that we have taken vows not to do wrong, and we should stick to those vows and not do any more wrong now. So every teaching has a particular stress, and if we don't understand that intent of stress, then we might have a completely misconstrued idea conception of how things are to be. So for example, if it is said that those who slaughter cows will become cows in their future lives and be killed, the point of saying this is that don't slaughter cows. But if somebody says, oh, if cow slaughterers become cows in the next life, then maybe the cows who are here now, they were cow slaughterers in the previous life, and therefore there's nothing wrong in them being slaughtered, they're only getting their karma. Now, this would be a monstrous perversion of that statement, which is primarily meant to make us aware that our actions have consequences, and therefore we should be cautious about our actions. Similarly, the purpose of saying that at the time of initiation, the commitment that we are freed from sins, that is meant to inspire us with a greater zeal to commit to the practice of bhakti. And many devotees do experience a purging of their consciousness, a deeper connection with Krishna, a deeper ability to practice Krishna bhakti, and to thereby rise beyond illusion, rise beyond particular temptations, and rise beyond whatever challenges we may have faced. In the past, because of our conditionings. Now, those conditionings may not go away, or they may decrease substantially. We don't know what specifically will happen, but the stress is that commit yourself to practice of bhakti and commit yourself to resisting those indulgences that take us away from the practice of bhakti. That is the essential point of initiation, to develop love for Krishna, not to gain an insurance from suffering. It is to gain a consciousness that gives us transcendence to suffering, and that comes by absorption.